Now, I'd like you to think a little bit about what you've heard already this morning. Is there any connection here? Is there something that Dad maybe spoke about that... Does this complete the picture, maybe? Could you say it that way? Dad talked about the fear of the Lord, about that there is a God who has wrath. But here it says, if you, O Lord, had kept a record of sins, who could stand? Any of us? And so we cry, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. We're hopeless, we're helpless, we're lost without God. And it's out of those depths of our lostness, out of our darkness, our despair, our distress, our complete inability to rescue ourselves, that we cry to the Lord. I have in my Bible here that this was Jonah's psalm. I think Dad said that once. Jonah's psalm. Now, why would that be Jonah's psalm? Out of the depths, right? When did Jonah pray? Out of the belly of a whale. The whale was taking him for a ride. Better than Six Flags or any roller coaster. He was taking him down to the depths. And there in the belly, what does Jonah do? I cry to the Lord. He had disobeyed God. Far from God. Tried to run away. And yet God pursued him. Prepared that great fish to swallow him up. And out of the depths he cries to the Lord. Well, it's a wonderful thing if the Lord brings us to that place where we cry out to him, where we see our great need. I don't really think that there can be salvation, saving faith, unless you and I see our need. Why? Why do I need a Savior? Well, if we have that attitude, then we won't experience His salvation. But it's out of the depths of our need that we cry, our distress, and we say, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Sometimes the Lord allows things to come our way in His mercy. That brings us to that point where we cry out to God. There's some people that I know who haven't gotten to that point yet. Their life is pretty helpless and hopeless, but they haven't seen their need of God to the point that they'll cry out and say, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. That thought of mercy has no thought in it that we deserve something. Well, it does. We deserve punishment. But mercy is able to go beyond that and bring forgiveness. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Right? Is that the way we say it? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. We go before the judge and say, mercy, mercy, judge, right? I plead the mercy of the court. I beg the mercy of the court. Don't sentence me to what I really deserve. And so that's why the psalmist says, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? Who could stand? There was that king of Babylon, the last king of Babylon. And do you remember he had that vision, or all of those who were partying that night had that vision of the hand writing on the wall. Remember that story? And it wrote something, that hand appeared and it wrote on the wall. Meanie, meanie, tekel, euphorosum. And they didn't know what that meant, and they all were trembling. They suddenly were awakened, as it were, out of their drunken stupor and realized something was taking place here that was divine. And so they called for the astrologers and those wise men, and the queen mother came in and said, "There's one Daniel. Daniel, call for Daniel. Call for Daniel. He's the one that you want. The Spirit of God is in him." And so Daniel comes, and what does he say to that king? What does he say it means? Well, first of all, the king says, "I'm going to give you all these, I'll give you your jewels, I'll give you your clothes." And he says, "King, you can keep everything. I don't want anything for you. I don't want it. But it says tonight your soul is weighed in the balances and you're found wanting. Tonight your soul is weighed in the balances and you are found wanting." And what's that picture? That on this side of the scale, can you see the scales? You're weighed in the balances. And on this side of the scale is our sin. This is your sin, King Belteshazzar. This is your sin. And it's outweighed any righteousness that you have. You're found wanting. You're lacking. You've come up short. And so if God would regard our iniquity, would we all come up short? Mm-hmm. The balances would be not in our favor. But you know what? Christ's righteousness, and we're going to come to that, is laid on the other side. His sacrifice. It amazes me to see this psalm in this place here as one that was sung by these pilgrims. Because I see not only in it a hope for them, but it's so prophetic of what Jesus came to do for us. "But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are" what? Feared. Feared. That's the other side. God forgives my sin. And how is it that that is possible? How is it that God can forgive my sin? Dad said that God wouldn't be just if he didn't punish sin. So how do we reconcile these two things? We have a just and holy God who judges sin, and we have sinful humanity. How is it that I can escape judgment? How is it that God can forgive me? How is it? Joshua, how is it? You have the answer? How is it, James? How can a holy God forgive me? He can't?
He can.
He can. How come?
Because
he's God? Oh, so he can just change the rules whenever he wants, right? No, how is it that this just and holy God, who hates sin, who punishes us, how is it that he can forgive you and me? I heard love. I heard what?
Jesus paid the price.
Yes, Jesus paid the price. I told you I heard a song, and I do like the song because I think I understand what it means. But it goes something like this, that Jesus loved away my sin. Well, I understand it, but I don't. Because I think it misses something if we just took it like that. Jesus didn't love away my sin. Jesus died for my sin. It cost the Son of God. I don't know if we can fully understand it. We sing it in that song, "'Tis mystery all, the immortal dies." And that's maybe the best that we can do. Here is God. Sinless, holy, who comes in human form, walks among men, sinless, And then he experiences the sin of all the world laid on him. He feels the wrath of God poured out in full extent upon that sin that was laid on him. And as he's on that cross, he is taking the sin of the whole world. We can't understand that fully. And that is the only reason why God can forgive you. Because Jesus took your place. He was the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. And so you and I are forgiven because Jesus took your sin and your sorrow and he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. He suffered and died alone. Someone has said, if you want to see the awfulness of sin, look to Calvary. Look to the cross, where the sinless Son of God suffered and died for us. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, and oh my God, it found out me. And so this psalm just is such a beautiful picture. Reminder. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. Some commentators see that this is something that maybe Jesus said. He had hoped in his Father to bring him out of that grave, to bring him through the death on the cross. Dad mentioned that. Lord, if this cup can be taken away from me, yet not my will but thine be done. My hope is in you, Lord. I'm waiting for you to vindicate me. And so he endures the cross, despising its shame, and is raised again the third day by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The power of God. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. And so, how does it end? Oh, Israel, put your hope in God. For with the Lord is unfailing love. And with him is plenteous, I like that, plenteous, full redemption. Nothing I've done is outside that full and plenteous redemption. He himself, you see, I like that also. He himself, you see that? The NIV makes that clear. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. God himself made the way. Jesus came by the incarnation and took my place. He redeemed Israel from all their iniquities. So do you feel that there's something you've done that God can't forgive? He paid the price. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And so, O Israel, O you believers in Jesus, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is mercy, unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. Don't let the enemy tell you that the Lord's not going to forgive you. But let's just come and bring everything to him. Everything. He doesn't keep a record of wrong. That's all washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's under the blood. It's under the blood. He says, I cast your sins, as it were, behind my back. I remember them no more. He remembers our sins and iniquities no more. Well, I think you've got the message, right? We fear the Lord not only for his wrath, but for his forgiveness. He is the God who forgives. He is the God of mercy, who withholds judgment, withholds his wrath, because of what Jesus has done. 5 bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. And what do they plead? Forgive him. Oh, forgive, they cry, nor let that ransomed sinner die. And so we're bought back from the power of the enemy. We're ransomed. We're set free. Yes, the price was paid. Jesus paid it all.